Fitness Challenge Podcast, your source for the best, most inspiring, and up-to-date information concerning all things related to MS fitness and health. This is Stephen Gloss, your host, an MS warrior trainer and fitness advocate. The MS Fitness Challenge provides guidance and support to people with MS and fitness professionals worldwide in an effort to educate and train them in the benefits of exercise, nutrition, and mindset. Together, we can win the battle against multiple sclerosis. This is episode number 4. Today's special guest is perhaps the main reason the MS Fitness Challenge exists. She has more than 20 years of experience in nursing and working with MS patients. Her heart is to help as many people with MS get the support and guidance needed through the MS Fitness Challenge and to help them live productive lives through exercise and nutrition. She has been instrumental in helping David Lyons at every step along his MS Bodybuilding Challenge, and now she is a driving force behind the MS Fitness Challenge to enrich the lives of others with MS. The MS Fitness Challenge podcast would like to introduce Kendra Lyons to the show. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure. So I want to get kind of going back to your history. When did you first start working with MS patients? What were your initial predispositions to MS?
Okay, so we'll go way back. I was a nurse, probably 10 years before I met David. I do postpartum, mother, baby, but I also bounce back and forth between home health. And my first introduction to people with MS really was a hard one, because if you're on home health, you usually have, we call it comorbidities, where they have other disease processes. So I had patients with MS that may have, say, you know, diabetes or something else too. So long story short, I had a couple patients that were pretty bedridden, and I would have to see them every week to do a procedure on them. And so that was my first introduction to MS, was more the severe side. So when I met Dave, I was like, what the heck? You have MS. You know, it was just very shocking to see someone be doing so well with it, because what I worked with was the opposite end.
So when you first met David, how long did it take you to figure out that he had MS? Did he tell you right away? And did that scare you off initially?
Well, if you guys read his book, David's Goliath, then you'll read, we met online, and then our first conversation, he told me, which I really do appreciate. He was very forthcoming and upfront and pulled no strings. This is what I am. You take it or leave it. And he was so infectious with his drive and personality, as in, I'm going to beat this, that it didn't even play a factor in my mind that, oh my gosh, this is serious, because he, on the phone, it was just so infectious how I'm going to do this and this and this. And I've never been around anybody as strongly driven as him. So in the beginning, it wasn't really a factor, because it was so put on the back burner, you know, with his bodybuilding, what he was going to do. Dave has always been a person of what he's going to do, never, ever, ever, ever what he's not going to do.
Right.
So, yeah,
I could tell that from the moment I first started talking to him as well. It's pretty cool.
Right.
So when David came to you with this crazy idea to want to compete in a bodybuilding competition, even with, albeit with his MS, what went through your mind?
Well, okay. So mind you, this is first year of marriage. we got married fast, within 7 months, and it was a long distance relationship. So you talk about crazy. But me and Dave both accredited it to, it's a God thing. I am not a person to just jump and do something quickly. I'm a thinker and plan it out. And so it was totally God's plan for us, how we met and everything. I had specifically prayed before I met him to be a cheerleader for someone that had a passion for something specifically. And that's why this is all so amazing, because it's exactly what God brought. But go back to your question. I told you I talk a lot.
No, that's fine. So what went through your mind when he told you that he wanted to compete in a bodybuilding competition then?
Oh, actually, I admired it very much, because what I admired most about Dave, not most, there's a lot of things I admire, but one thing that I really, you know, was attracted to in the beginning was his drive, was his focus. It was like being married to a marathon or a Olympic athlete that, you know, totally had a drive, like nothing was going to stop this guy. So at first I thought, heck yeah, I'll cheer you on. You're doing, he looked good. He was doing pretty well. And I thought, I liked it. So I was okay with it in the beginning. And then fast forward, we're a year into our marriage and his first competition. And oh my gosh, I do admire bodybuilders and their discipline. I think they're one of the most disciplined people out there. Because bodybuilding affects your whole life with your diet, with when you train. I mean, no matter, you know how it is, you're just, you know, eating five times a day, you figuring out what you're going to eat, and then you're training, and, you know, and then you're changing up your training, and, you know, it affects your life a lot. And that I had to get used to, because I was like, okay, mellow out. Can you have a French fry? Let's go, you know? You gotta understand, this is a fast food TV dinner girl meets bodybuilder. So there was some major adjusting in the beginning. But of course, he's taught me a lot and I've changed, which I know is a question coming up.
No, that's great. I've read the book that David wrote, David's Goliath. If anybody listening who hasn't picked it up, I highly recommend it. It's a great read. But in it, he recounts an event where you tried to, quote unquote, you know, steal some food off of his plate. What lesson did you learn from that? And what is it like trying to feed a bodybuilder?
Oh my gosh, it's such a funny story. I'm telling you, this is, gosh, maybe our second date. He was living in Florida and I was in California, and I had prayed for someone in California, and then it was just a miracle that he popped up on my feed, and because I said nobody outside of the radius of an hour. Well, he lived in Florida. So long story short, he had to fly out and he stayed a couple weeks, and on our second date, we went out to eat, and I'm pretty easygoing, like whatever. And so I went to grab, I don't know, whatever he had. And he looked at me with the death look, like, what are you doing? This does not happen. And I just looked at him like, what is your problem? Because I'm pretty feisty too in some way. And I'm like, okay. And Californians, we say, dude. I'm like, dude, what's your problem? And he was just like, I don't share food. And I'm like, well, get over it. You know, I was pretty taken aback, but we kind of laughed about it. But to this day, I know what's funny is he does not share food. And then what's funny is I am a very little eater. And then he literally watches me like a dog, knowing I will not finish, so he can see what he's going to end up with. So it's kind of a running joke, but now it's like, no, you don't get it. I eat my other half at home. I take leftovers all the time. But it's just funny. At first I was doing the cooking and five meals a day, and I'm not a cook, and you know, all that was an adjustment. So now it's like, you know what? You cook, you can cook, you can do what you want. So it's taken, you know, 10 years of adjusting back and forth, but he'll cook a lot now because I'm not cooking five times a day. Sorry. So
that's great. Yeah, I can relate to David in a lot of ways. I have a really fast metabolism, and my wife, she also has a really small stomach, so I'm guilty of doing the same thing of just sort of staring at my wife whenever she starts to slow down and just waiting with bated breath to ask that question, are you going to finish that? So I can really relate to that story.
Or eating is not a social thing for you guys. It's just eat and you're done, you know? And I'm like, that's talk. You know, he doesn't talk. And you know what? I'm just so used to it now. It doesn't even bother me. Some other girls would think, oh, it's rude. But you learn to give and take. And that's the whole thing with MS. You just give and take and let things slide. And it just works for us.
Yeah. A part of that might also just be the David and I, our military mindset. You know, they teach you food is fuel, and that's pretty much eat. And you consume it as fast as you can so you can keep driving towards your mission. So I'm sure that has a lot to do with it as well.
Yeah, that's true.
When you found out that David had torn his pectoral muscle, if you haven't heard about this story, you can rewind back to, I think, back to episode one where he shares his story. But when you found out that he tore his pectoral muscle during training, were you ready to convince him that he needed to stop? Was that sort of like, that drew the line in the sand?
Well, okay, so this is a little story too. What really happened, he tore it before I met him.
Oh, okay.
He had already torn it, but okay, fast forward, first year of marriage, going through the bodybuilding competition, that whole thing, seeing him slim down to nothing and basically starve himself, get dehydrated, you know, the whole thing. That part was hard as a nurse because I'm like, okay, that you're stressing your body now, you know, just for looks and, you know, just for a competition, you know, that that took some adjusting too. But first year of marriage, we go through the competition and preparing. Then we go through surgery to repair the muscle. First surgery, you know, I'm a nurse and I've done post-surgical stuff a lot. And so I'm nursing him at home. He didn't spend the night. Well, Dave's bleeding, and he's bleeding kind of under the skin. It was coming out into a drain thing. So anyways, did not hold, back into surgery, goes back into surgery within a week. Okay, so they thought they could repair it. So I, you know, spent the night in the hospital. So, you know, I'm seeing some serious stuff go on here now, which I hadn't yet. Well, the surgery didn't hold basically because the muscle was pulled from the tendon and it was like jello. And they tried, bless their hearts, the surgeon, but it just, he did such a bad repair that they couldn't fix it. They tried. So after that, seeing, okay, not good. When I would watch him train, I'm like, you know, he doesn't have feeling on his left side. It has come back from the stem cells, about 30%. But what scares me is obviously he's numb, which a lot of you guys totally understand. So he can push too hard and not even know he's tearing something. So his pain level is a lot different than someone, you know, fully functional, not dealing with MS.
Right, right.
So anyways, that part is hard where, you know, you kind of balance. We've had to so work on balance with that over the years because he'll push to injury. He used to. He's a lot better and doing a lot better. Of course, being a nurse, maybe that was part of God's plan to tame him down a little bit. So, yeah, that's been an adjustment. And, you know, I didn't like that. He also dropped a 45-pound weight on his toe.
That sounds fun.
Oh, no, it was crazy. And, you know, he calls me and he goes, "You better come get me." And I go there and I could tell the toe was broken in half, the big toe. And it was already blue within minutes. And he's just sitting there in the office, you know, drinking some water going, "I think it's broken." And I'm like, "Oh, you think?" It was really bad. But anybody else would have been screaming. But because of his numbness, you know, it wasn't as bad. But I had to nurse him for 6 weeks with the toe. It just kept oozing blood. Thank heavens. Because, you know, when you get the pressure under the toenail, it's extremely hard. Well, it actually cracked. He lost the whole toenail, but it was kind of a slow process. But anyways, things happen, and he has learned to tame down a little bit, but I wouldn't say fully.
So David, he credits you for motivating and inspiring him to start the MS Fitness Challenge. At what point did that occur, and how did you know that David could be capable of pulling this whole thing off?
Well, I never knew what we were capable of. It's all God's doing, and it's been amazing to watch. I always knew he was a special guy and that God had a special plan for him just because of his drive and his discipline and his heart. But no, I never did know. But what happened after his first bodybuilding challenge, I saw how people were so inspired by him. They gave him a standing ovation. You know, we were in Florida. And just to see how he pushed, but what I saw mostly, I think, I got to think back because so much has happened, was what I saw with him compared to my previous patients, you know, in home health, was he was focusing on what he can do and not what he can't do. I was dealing more with people that were home and depressed and, you know, really bad shape and, you know, had no motivation. Well, and then I had the other extreme of Dave. So I thought, wait a minute, there's some correlation here with you working out and keeping your mindset focused on what you can do. So then fast forward, I just said to him, I said, "Okay, enough of this bodybuilding. If that's just self-focus, why can't you share just working out with people with MS and get..." My thought was just get them out and get them going in the gym.
Yeah. So what gave you the confidence to believe in the power of fitness for people with MS? Was it just David's bodybuilding experience, or did you have an inkling that there was something special here?
Well, again, it was watching Dave and what he was doing. And then it morphed into basically we did our first 8-week challenge. where we just, gosh, we have people walking in a wheelchair and, you know, with canes and walkers. And after that challenge, one of our first people, the story that always touches my heart is that she goes, I put it on my refrigerator, literally. And it said, I don't want to be a burden to my teenage son. I want to walk in my house without falling. And long story short, she was a single mom. Her teenage son had been with her, you know, I don't know when she became a single mom, but long story short, he was the primary caregiver as a teenager. And his mom got stronger and he got to go out with his friends more and got to go be more of a teenager than just be home with his mom. I'll start crying about that. That's giving somebody back their life, you know? And just that one person was like, oh my gosh, you have something here. Just by her working out for 8 weeks, it changed her life plus her teenager's life, you know?
Yeah, it's incredible. It's just, I think at the end of the day, even if you can change one person's life, it's all worth it, right?
Exactly. I mean, I never imagined where this was going to go. I thought, oh, we'll go from city to city. You know, maybe I think our goal was 4 cities a year to do the 8-week challenge in the beginning, you know, and we would do 20 people at each city or 10 to 20 people. Well, after the testimonies of our first one, I think we were in Minnesota. You know, like that woman's story, another man thanked us. And this is what I really want to get across in this, what do you call this, iPod?
This podcast.
Podcast, I'm saying iPod. Is the testimonials. Another man wrote to us and said, thank you so much for giving me my wife back. His wife, I don't know, 40s or 50s, with MS, lost her confidence, never wanted to go out dancing or even on a date. Because she felt wobbly when she would go out. No, this was a military wife. She wouldn't even go to the military ball with her husband. And she actually she went to the ball. And he said, thank you. You don't understand what this has done for our marriage. Just by her having confidence to go get a new dress, to wear some heels, and just to get out. And, you know, stories like that, I can't even tell you, Stephen, are constant. That just touched my heart. So that's, you know, I thought, oh, if we just touch, you know, 60 people across the country a year, I mean, that's awesome.
Right. So. And it's grown into a lot more than that. It takes a ton of effort and energy to be at the helm of starting a charity, especially from the ground up. How do you balance work, taking care of David, and making sure that you both don't push yourselves too far with all of this?
Well, that's been a give and take and an adjustment over 10 years. At first, I was just really all feet in with the charity, but then I missed my nursing. I stopped nursing. So I'm like, wait a minute, Kendra, you have to do Kendra too. Because if you don't do Kendra, then you're not the best for Dave. So I pulled back. I went back to work over the last couple of years. I've kind of bounced back and forth. You know, I'll go charity and kind of let my nursing go to the side for a bit, you know, and then I'll jump into another job and stuff. So I have learned that it's very important for you wives out there or husbands out there and for kids out there. Yes, the MS takes a hold of the whole family, but you got to keep doing you and make you as healthy as you can be. Otherwise, you won't be the best for the person with MS. So it's not selfish. I also do this in my nursing career. I see a lot of families, you know, in home health that are dealing with whatever, cancer or whatever. And I always encourage them. I mean, I've had many families that never leave the home, never do anything for themselves, and they are burning out quick. And the number one thing I can say is, please get an outlet for yourself and go do something for yourself. It is okay to leave that person. It may be an issue at first, you know, where they're like, what the heck? You're leaving me alone. But you know what? They got to realize they got to let that person go be them so they can be strong for, you know, strong too. You got to heal your own emotional health and take care of yourself.
Yeah, I'm really glad you brought all that up because this podcast, it isn't just for people with MS, because as anyone living with MS knows, This disease doesn't just affect the person who's been diagnosed. It has a ripple effect on many others, especially close family members. So as the wife of someone with MS, what are some of the biggest challenges you face and the struggles you go through on a daily basis? And how do you deal with the unpredictability of MS?
Well, I have twofold, a bodybuilder mentality or drive. You know, you got to deal with that end of things. And then Dave is just a go-getter. He's always starting something else. He's got his hands in a lot of different things. So, and then you got the disease. And, you know, one thing with dealing with the disease, I try and put out and pray about it constantly is the negative what ifs. You know, being a nurse, I know a lot of what ifs. Like, I saw the what ifs. You know, what if he has a major attack? How do you deal with that? A lot of that, honestly, is just day-to-day prayer, just focusing again on what he can do, just instead of just always looking at, oh my gosh, what if he, I have lived through an attack with him, and that was really scary. He was on, well, two things. One of the drugs he tried really didn't do well with him, and he could barely walk and get off the couch. And that's when, you know, my anger came in. I said, you're done. We're done. We're not doing this one anymore. So then, you know, we went off that drug, but, you know, everybody's different. But, and then I lived through an exasperation with them, and, you know, it was hard. It's hard. I feel a lot for families, because when you see someone, you know, doing pretty well, and then all of a sudden they're a different person, it's hard to deal with sometimes the depression, or seeing him, not so much depression as the frustration. That's the word. Frustration of, gosh darn it, my leg's not working as good today, or, you know, having your bad days. That stuff is hard. I've learned to when to be silent, when to be encouraging, and when to just let him go through it. Maybe he has a bad day and he's ticked off. You know, at first, you know, you can take it real personally as a wife or spouse, whatever. But then you learn, you know what, let him have a space, let him feel it. Because you know what, it is frustrating. I'd be frustrated if my leg, you know, I couldn't walk as good one day. Of course it's frustrating. But, you know, again, that's a process. At first, you know, it was like, gosh, why are you so moody? You know, but it's a definite process, and talking. I had to pull a lot out of him. He's Mr. Tough, and he's just going to deal with it by himself. And I think he's learned over time to kind of, you know, share, I'm having a bad day. And I'll say, get upstairs and go take a nap, you know. And luckily, I like naps, so that's worked out good. So, you know.
Yeah, I think for me, I can relate to a lot of the things you said. Having only been diagnosed for about a year and a half now, I've already gone through two sort of either pseudo or real relapses, one of which made it to the point where I couldn't really see anything. It was so blurry for about 10 days. And when you're going through all of those things, there's a lot of shock, fear, and anxiety that your MS is progressing to the point where it's going to be like that for the rest of your life. So I think, like you stated, it really is a process. And the longer you go through this, the more you jump through all these hoops and hurdles, the more confidence you start to gain that regardless of what happens, you'll make it through to the next day. And I think that's a great way to look at it.
And you know, one thing, Stephen, I just thought of is I would encourage you guys with MS to communicate to us. We can't read your minds. I didn't even know Dave couldn't even feel his leg for a long time. It's like, what? I mean, because he compensates so well. And I know you guys are fighters and warriors, but maybe it would help us if you guys just say, you know what, my neuropathy or whatever, my optic neuritis, I'm not seeing it out of my left side. Like, we were watching TV last night and Dave had a total episode. He's like, I see the black hole. And, you know, so I sit there and I just, you know, I'm quiet, and then I, you know, pray for him silently. And then I'll say in an hour, well, how's your eyes doing? But a lot of times before, he would just get angry. You know what I'm saying? He was just angry because he was feeling something. It would have helped me more, especially as a new wife in dealing with it. What's going on? And it's not like you guys have to sit there and go, well, I have, you know, my foot hurts, my leg hurts. I know you have multiple symptoms. It's just saying, you know what, I'm struggling right now. We can't read your minds is what I'm saying. Yeah. So communication is really a big key.
Yeah, I think that's a critical aspect of MS is that it is okay to struggle and it's perfectly normal and it's even good for people to communicate. I know for me, it's still something I struggle with. I can't speak for everyone, but I don't like being the quote unquote burden on my family. And I also don't like making my family sharing those emotions of stress and fear and anxiety that I sometimes have. I don't like putting that on their plate. So it is a tough thing to balance.
It is. I agree.
So David, he's still, if you follow him on social media, you can tell he's still crushing it at the gym on a regular basis. I mean, he just had stem cell treatment. He's out there already killing it. Do you still find yourself ever having to help him ease off of that intensity from time to time?
Honestly, no. What I have learned with him, Stephen, that if I were to take away the gym, that would be it. Emotionally, he would go down. I've seen him when he had his relapse. I've seen him go down emotionally. It's always been his outlet. So whatever outlet someone has with MS, I highly encourage it. To him, it's his food. You know, he can never not work out. So I've learned that, you know what, if the man were to pass working out, then that's the way it's going to be because I've really backed off on it. But honestly, I trust him now. I trust that he knows his body and he's not pushing to a detrimental, you know,
right.
Pace. You know, he knows when to stop and slow down. And sometimes now I'm working out with him. I just started back up. I've been working this year and it's been a hard year. I haven't been working out as much. He lost his mom, I lost my dad, and he lost a brother-in-law. And so it's been a really rough year because he moved to Idaho too. So just a transition. So anyways, I've been working a lot more and not working out. Well, now I went back to working out. So yeah, I keep an eye on him. And like today, I was like, why do you have to push so much? And, you know, he's like, because that's the level I'm at and stuff. And, you know, we'll have a conversation. But I think he really understands how much is too much.
Right, yeah. That's another thing that I guess people, you know, especially with MS, if you're getting into fitness, you'll have to learn your body and learn that over time.
Yes.
So you sort of touched on it already, but how has David's obsession with fitness impacted your personal fitness life?
Well, again, it's always been a battle. I'm sure he would love me to be a fitness, what do you call them? Fitness model or whatever, where they, you know, where they compete as a woman and stuff, bodybuilding, whatever, fitness. I think he would love me to have the passion like that, but I don't. I will be perfectly honest. I'm more the heart behind this charity. Like, oh, let's do this.
You know what, Kendra? I'll actually challenge you on that front. I bet you he loves you just the way you are.
Well, yeah. But he loves – I see – we just started back this 2 weeks now. And he just loves it. He loves me being there. And at first, you know, I needed the space. Like, you go to the gym. This is your thing. You know, give me a couple hours at home. You know? But I enjoy it. He is an awesome trainer. I will say that. I thought he would hurt me and everything, but it's been just perfect, actually, this week. I need it now because of my age and, you know, you're starting to get aches and pains. I have a sciatica issue. So I like how it does make you feel and it just strengthens you. I need it for strengthening. You know, I saw this last year sitting on the couch. It doesn't work. It's not a good thing.
Right. So wrapping this up then, going back to the charity and just the heart behind it and everything, what were your initial goals for the MS Fitness Challenge? And did you ever think it would grow into what it has today? What are your hopes and dreams for the organization and its future?
I never imagined what Dave has done with Facebook and how it's morphed from there has been awesome. One of the dreams was to have like an online thing because I knew we couldn't keep up these challenges all around the country traveling and everything. So when the MS workouts team, Jim came along, that is awesome because so many more people are being impacted in, you know, exercising. So that's exciting. Another exciting thing has been, the trainers with heart. That was kind of my idea too, is get them certified to teach. I said, can we just clone you? I said that, Dave, just clone you and, And so then that's where it came up to have the certification. So my dream is to have a lot more trainers around the world. I'm so thankful for people like you, Stephen, and Monica, and Maureen, and Shauna coming alongside and growing this charity and helping us, because it's been hard. The fundraising part is extremely hard. And Dave can't do it all. He can't be on there answering questions. And, you know, he's very, very, very busy. So my dream is that more people will be raised up to really come alongside, because he's not, you know, we're going to get into retirement age. He'll never stop. But so that's not even a question. But as people like you come along that have a heart, I am especially excited with MSers, you guys that have MS, that have a heart, that see this vision, rather than, you know, someone that doesn't have MS. Yes, they have a heart, but you guys get it. I'm so thankful for you, because you honestly get it. Having MS and then, you know, wanting to help. So that's my dream. It's just more people like you would come along.
Well, Kendra, yeah, as we close this out, I just want to give a huge, huge thank you to you. I mean, like I said at the beginning of the show, this charity probably wouldn't exist today if it wasn't for you, and for you and motivating and pushing David to really grow his heart and to put his strength and his energy into helping people with MS. And it's thanks to people like you that the dream that you have of growing this to making it worldwide, to getting more people involved, and helping as many people with MS as possible, that maybe hopefully one day we can achieve it.
I just want to thank you, Stephen, for doing this podcast. I'm very excited about it. I hope it, you know, educates and helps people. And I'm just very thankful that you've come up and doing this, and just want to wish you the best. And thank you so much.
Yeah, I'm so excited to grow it and can't wait to see what happens next. So that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Be sure to tune into next week's episode, where I will get the honor and privilege of interviewing Shauna Ferrigno, the MS Fitness Challenge Mindset Coach. If you're interested in learning how to best equip yourself with the right mindset to battle MS, or any obstacle in life for that matter, you're not going to want to miss it. Remember, new episodes of the MS Fitness Challenge podcast will be available for download every Saturday on Apple, Google, Spotify, and Simplecast. A great way you can help and support the MS Fitness Challenge is by sharing, rating, and reviewing this podcast. The more people we can reach, the greater the impact we can have. As we close out, remember to check out MSFitnessChallenge.com, check out the upcoming training camp in Los Angeles, and dig into all the great resources we have for you. Also, be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn, and be sure to get plugged into the MS Fitness Challenge Gym Facebook group. The group is as active as ever and will give you the chance to get integrated to a motivated cast of dedicated MS warriors. To all those listening, to all our MS warriors, thank you. Don't give up the fight. Keep pressing, keep striving, and conquer MS.